Make your weekend better at Buena Connection Brewing Company. Fresh craft beer, great vibes, and a tap room perfect for kicking back. Grab a pint, bring friends, and enjoy the weekend at Buena Connection Brewing Company. Go to BuenaConnectionBrewing.com. Hi everyone, welcome to Beverage Chronicles. Gary Monterosa here, I'm your host. This is the show all about beverages of all types. Anything from beer to whiskey, wine, cocktails, coffee, soda, bottled water, whatever. And our main interest is and always has been you, the consumer. We want to pass along what we feel are good tips for you. If we see some products that we really like, we want you to know about them as well. So let's get started. Nobody wants to sip from a dirty glass, right? But when it comes to beer, there's clean, and then there's what we call beer clean. If you've ever seen a bartender misting a glass with a bit of cold water just before pouring your drink, that's exactly what's happening. It's a sign that you're at a place that takes pride in their service, whether it's a bar, restaurant, or one of the top breweries in the United States. They clearly care about maintaining industry standards. And this isn't just some fancy ritual for small craft beer makers. So why do they bother with that extra rinse? Isn't the glass already clean? The quick answer is probably not. That's where the idea of beer clean comes into play. That extra rinse after washing makes sure the glass is free from any hidden impurities that you can't see. These can include leftover detergent, sanitizer, oils, tiny particles, and dust, all of which can mess with the aroma, flavor, body consistency, and even the appearance of the beer. But wait, there is more. Rinsing the inside of the glass reduces friction when the beer is poured, resulting in a smoother pour. This helps create a nice foam head on your beer, enhancing its flavor and aroma. Plus, it cools the glass a bit, which is great if it just came out of the dishwasher. While most people don't bother making their glasses beer clean at home, if you're having a beer at home, you should definitely pour it into a glass. If you're out enjoying a pint, there are a few ways to tell if your glass is beer clean. One way is to look at the foam. A beer clean glass not only produces a good head, but that head sticks around longer instead of fading away quickly. Once you've enjoyed your beer, check for lacing all the way down the sides, but avoid bubbles. Bubbles sticking to the insides of the glass indicate debris or dust that CO2, that's carbon dioxide, from the carbonation process has clung to. Any bubbles should rise to the surface, leaving your beer looking uniform and smooth. You can also make sure your glass is beer clean before pouring your beer by using the sheeting test. Fill the glass with cold water and observe how it behaves as you pour it out. If the water coats the glass evenly, like a sheet, you're in luck. However, if it beads up or collects unevenly in different areas, then it's not beer clean. Another method you could try is called the salt technique. Rinse your glass with cool water and sprinkle a bit of salt inside. If the salt coats the sides evenly, your glass is beer clean. But if it clumps in certain spots more than others, it means your glass is still a little bit dirty. And if it turns out to be beer clean, be sure to express your gratitude. Thank your bartender for your wonderfully frothy, hop-infused drink, which has been enhanced by their commitment to this standard. I hope that helps you. Okay, let's move on, and here is Michelle Lamb.
Welcome back to Beverage Chronicles, where we pour the stories behind the spirits. I'm Michelle Lamb, and today we are breaking down exactly how public relations helps beverage brands grow, not in theory, but on a very real micro level. Whether you're launching a new label, entering a new market, or trying to stand out on a crowded shelf, public relations isn't just about press. It's about positioning, trust, and visibility that converts to sales. Questionable, but hey, possible. So let's uncork the key ways PR supports beverage brands. And I'll break each one down so you can see how it works behind the scenes. PR scales your brand without diluting it. On a micro level breakdown, maintains voice across markets and regions, adapts messaging for new audiences, protects brand integrity during rapid growth. And why it matters? Growth without narrative control leads to brand erosion. And that wraps up today's Beverage Chronicles breakdown on how public relations truly supports beverage brands. From credibility and storytelling to sales and long-term growth. Whether you're a startup distillery or an established brand looking to scale, PR is one of the few tools that builds trust, visibility, and relevance at the same time. I'm Michelle Lam, and thank you for tuning in, and always keep pouring with purpose and leading with story.
Do chicken, fish, and pork chops have to be paired with white wine? Well, this is John Mahoney from New Jersey Wine Radio for the Beverage Chronicles, answering absolutely not. I've found over the past 25 years that much of the wine drinking world always serves red wines with their fish. For chicken, it depends on what you're serving alongside the meat. And during frigid weather, pork chops marry nicely with many low tannic red wines. Red wine seems to warm the soul during cold or icy weather. Not the reservas, but regular Rioja works with most white meats. Italian Dolcetto is also another good pairing. Beaujolais Gamay is another red to serve with white meats. Pinot Noir will also work as long as it's pure Pinot Noir with nothing added to darken it. Cinsault from the Rhone Valley and Grenache from Provence or Spain will work very well with white meats, especially during colder weather. Seek out a Fappato from Sicily. Its light red fruits and aromatic herbs enhance pork chops, chicken, and many fish dishes. Well, this is John Mahoney repeating that the best meals are with the wines that you really enjoy. Remember, rosé wines were made to work with red or white base menus. And experimenting with new and different wines adds to your dining enjoyment. In Vino Veritas.
What is up, everybody? Rachel here, aka Brews with Bierkowski, and I am here to talk to you today about some beer history. I'm a certified Cicerone and I am a historian, and today we're going to be talking about how packaging has changed beer forever. So let's get nerdy. There was a time when canned beer was considered cheap. Low quality, something you drank because you had to, not because you wanted to. But today, cans are the gold standard of craft beer, and they've quietly revolutionized the way that we drink. The first canned beer appeared in 1935, just 2 years after Prohibition ended. Breweries were scrambling to rebuild, and cans offered immediate advantages. They were lighter than bottles, easier to ship, cheaper to produce, and far less likely to break. At first, consumers were skeptical. Would the beer taste metallic? Would the cans explode? But convenience won people over very quickly. Then World War II accelerated everything. Cans were durable, portable, and perfect for soldiers overseas. Beer could travel farther than ever before, and canned beer became a fixture of American life. But early cans had their problems. Sometimes linings inside the cans broke, which produced metallic flavors. But by the 1950s, modern coatings had solved this problem. From that point on, canned beer wasn't a compromise. It was a legitimate improvement. When the craft beer movement emerged decades later, many breweries resisted cans. Bottles felt premium, traditional, and serious. Cans were associated with mass market lagers, not artisanal beers. But science had other ideas. One of beer's biggest enemies is light, especially ultraviolet light. UV rays react with hop compounds and create a compound called 3-MBT, the chemical responsible for skunky or light-struck beer. This is an off flavor that can develop within minutes. Brown bottles block most UV light, but not all of it. Green bottles block less. And you can probably guess it, clear bottles block none at all, which is why many clear bottled beers rely heavily on hop extracts designed to resist skunking. Cans, on the other hand, block 100% of UV light. No exposure at all. No light struck flavors. And that alone makes them one of the best vessels for preserving beer freshness. Cans also seal more efficiently against oxygen, chill faster, and are safer at beaches, pools, concerts, and hiking trailheads. And they're infinitely recyclable, making them a sustainability win. Once craft breweries embraced cans, creativity exploded. Label art became bold and expressive, and beer traveled farther while staying fresher. Small breweries could distribute without fear of light damage or breakage. But here's the important caveat, and this part matters for drinkers. Even though cans are one of the best ways to store beer, beer should always be poured into a glass. Drinking straight from a can limits aroma, and aroma is a huge part of how we perceive flavor. Your nose plays a massive role in tasting hops, malts, and yeast, and all those fermentation characters. When you drink from a can, those aromatics stay trapped. So pouring beer into a glass releases carbonation, it lifts aroma, and allows your senses to fully experience the beer that the brewer intended. Cans protect the beer, but the glass unlocks it. So that familiar crack and hiss sound, it's not just convenience. It's the sound of innovation, science, and better beer. And when you pour that beer into a glass, you complete the journey. From packaging to palate, and exactly as it was meant to be enjoyed.
So we heard from Michelle Lamb, our public relations expert, from ML Brooklyn Night Media in New York. Thanks, Michelle. Then we went to our wine critic, John Mahoney. Known John for, my gosh, probably 25, 30 years at least. Great guy. Thanks, John. And finally, our beer historian, Rachel Benkowski, Brews with Beerkowski. Always love listening to her reports. You know, a little bit earlier, I talked to you about clean glasses. And as I said at the top of the show, I'm always interested in providing tips to you, things that'll maybe make your life easier. Beverages are not inexpensive. They're very expensive. And when you're spending your hard-earned money on any product, you want to make sure that you're getting a quality product, a good beverage, and that when you drink it, it's going to be served properly. Now let's talk about the concept of purchasing beer from your store. You know, when you buy a case of beer, it's usually a quick and easy task. Aside from ensuring that the packaging is intact and the cans are free from dents, there's really not a whole lot to consider. However, beer is quite sensitive, and the way it has been stored post-brewing can significantly impact its flavor. And by that, I mean that if your beer is exposed to direct sunlight, you've got a problem. This direct sunlight should be avoided. And of course, that applies more so to bottles than cans, but not exclusively. If you've ever opened the bottle only to be greeted by an unpleasant odor, ultraviolet or UV light is often the culprit. UV rays interact with the hops in the beer, and it causes it to break down into a compound called MBT, and that produces a foul smell, leading to the phenomenon known as skunking. This skunking effect can occur within minutes of exposure to strong UV light, which is why beer is typically packaged in brown glass. Brown glass provides the best defense against these ultraviolet rays, while green glass offers moderate protection and clear glass provides none whatsoever. Cans, being completely opaque, do not allow any UV light to penetrate, but we still recommend avoiding any cases that have been left in the sun. High temperatures can accelerate the aging of beer. At the very least, you might find your beer lacking in taste and aroma, but heat damage can also result in unpleasant, stale flavors. Think of wet cardboard or burnt rubber. Appetizing, huh? And beer that overflows uncontrollably when opened. That can happen. You'll pop one open and it'll just kind of explode out of the bottle or can. In summary, steer clear of beers that are sitting in store windows or on shelves exposed to direct sunlight, because they may already be going bad. That's it for this week's episode of Beverage Chronicles. I'm Gary Monteroso. Check us out on the website at beveragechronicles.com. See you next week.